Episode 309, July 17th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with the countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Joe, we got a big show. We're going to have like two guests. But joining us now, this guy.
God, Robbie. Oh.
All right.
What? He called me early.
Well, finally he's back. I feel like it's been way too long, but welcome back to the show, Mike Chamberlain.
Hello.
It's been 1 year.
How do we only have him on once a year, Robbie? I mean, I feel like that's your, as the producer, that's your fault.
Well, Robbie can't book him. He's too popular.
Michael is typically very busy with one project or another, so I don't like to bug him, but he kind of reached out to me, so I thought this is the perfect time.
When couples get married, like I have a friend, Sandy, and her husband calls her Sandra. And that's how I feel every time Robbie calls Mike Michael. You know, do you understand? Does that make sense?
Well, just the idea that he doesn't want to bug him. He has no problem bugging us.
Exactly.
Yeah. What did he do? Because you were a little late getting on, I guess. Why are you so busy?
Yeah, it is unusual. I mean, it is.
You're not going to tell us what you were doing?
Well, Robbie is famous for kind of jumping the gun and starting things early, even 2 minutes earlier. I have no problem admitting, even if I'm 1 minute late, but the phone rang at 5:58. I said, I know it's Robbie. I have 2 minutes. And, you know, I've got 2 minutes. Why are you bothering me?
Well, it's actually a little bit my fault. Everybody was on. I go, well, let's just get started. But what, you just were like, fuck Robbie, I'm not going to do this.
Is no, I was just annoyed. We have a swimming pool at our apartment complex, and I'm trying to get in some kind of presentable shape these days.
What do you mean?
And my body's falling apart. I mean, this is what happens as we approach 50. I got a huge bald spot, the gut's hanging out, no definition in the arms.
Like, are you lifting weights?
No. But I am exercising about 50 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Well, that's good. But you know what? I'm not an expert by any means, but I'm pretty sure the bald spot will stay there despite how many laps you swim.
No, it will. It will. I was biking today. My wife and I do a bike.
Freaking triathlete? Come on.
You swim for 15 minutes. You bike for 15 minutes.
Right. I biked for about 45 minutes, and then I said, I'm going to jump in the pool. We have a pool here, and swim for a little bit. Time got away from me. So I said to the lifeguard, I pointed to my wrist, meaning, hey, look at your – she had a wristwatch. That means look at your watch, and she looked at me, and I said, what time is it? And then she pulls her phone out and says, oh, it's – and I'm like, you have a watch.
No, I do the same thing. It is pathetic, though. Joe, don't answer this, Michael, but excuse me, Mike. Of the four main freestyle, your basic freestyle crawl, your breaststroke, your butterfly, how many do you think Chamberlain can swim and does swim in his regular swimming laps routine?
It's either none or one.
Well, you have to do at least one, otherwise you're not swimming.
Well, freestyle, you mean just whatever gets him from A to B?
No, freestyle means your typical crawl, your main right, left, coming over your shoulder.
That's the only you think he's doing the butterfly. He's not.
No, but he's probably doing backstroke and breaststroke. They're not. They're easier than butterfly. Butterfly is going to take more strength.
He's not doing those. And a matter of fact, he's probably resting every once in a while in the middle of the pool, just standing up and then starting again.
No, I think he's doing backstroke and freestyle. Michael, Mr. Chamberlain.
Well, Joe is pretty much correct. I mean, I basically get in there. I get in there to cool off and to kind of move around. I do go underwater. I get my hair wet.
It's not exercise. You realize just sitting in cold water.
No.
He's playing Marco Polo. He's going to get ripped.
And I do swim around and come up, and I do swim on my back, but it's nothing to watch, you know.
What do you think is a closer match, Michael Phelps when he swims against
the shark,
or Phelps versus Chamberlain?
What distance are we talking about?
We did 1 mile. No, I don't know.
Because Mike will be walking it. So I guess the shark he's closer to the shark. Right. Hey, Mike, before you came on, we had two questions that we wanted to ask you. And Rob and I have a bet on one, and that's what movies you've seen this year and how many we've heard of, and also how many times you've been to the library this year. Now, before you answer, Rob, you want to take a guess at the library? Because remember, his new wife bought him a laptop, which made him frequent the library less.
I still say he's been there 10 times this year.
No, definitely less than that. Okay, Mike?
So I'm actually going over there after we to pick up a DVD.
I knew it.
Because we have a nice television and the TiVo that Robbie gave us. I had declared about 2 years ago that I will only watch something in HD. That was sort of my thing. It had to be absolutely pristine and in the right aspect ratio, but I don't want to pay for it. So there were a couple of movies that have not been available on any streaming service that I wanted to see. And I broke down and got something from the library on DVD, and it looked – I couldn't believe how good the upconvert looked. And I said, you know what? Maybe I can venture and actually get some DVDs and start watching them for some of these other things. So anyway, that's why I'm going over there. So maybe
how many times have you been this year?
Yeah, I'm way wrong on this.
I also do some acting coaching. I check a room out there for free, the smaller meeting rooms. And I go over there once a week. So I'm over there quite a bit, but for different reasons.
Okay, so clearly over 10.
When you and your wife found a place to live, was one of those deal breakers proximity to the public library?
It wasn't a deal breaker, but I remember actually saying, hey, it's right next door.
So of all the things a realtor is asked about, how many before, how close is this to a library?
I mean, it's one in a thousand.
There's got to be 100 questions before that.
Do you walk to the library, Mike?
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Now, you said you're doing acting coaching?
Yeah, I do that.
What age?
Any age, adults, teens. I mean, you don't want to do a kid unless they're really talented.
Are you doing one-on-one or are you doing groups?
It's one-on-one.
Can you do a group? Can you do a session with all three of us?
We could do that. I mean, here's how that would work. You'd have some copy, might be a scene from Blue Bloods. I mean, I'm just pulling something out of the air. You know, a legitimate scene that was actually aired on the show. And then you say, okay, Joe, get up and do this scene. And then I would give feedback on it. And Joe would try it a bunch of times. And then Rob would get up and do it. And then we'd talk about it. And we'd see how people did it differently. And try not to say.
Do you want to do that, fellas? Do you want to have a contest? I know we did this before.
Well, I was just going to say, you can't think of it as a contest. You
we're not going to do it unless it's a funny bit for the show.
I'm not trying to learn how to be a great actor.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, I'm down. Or we can do three separate one-on-one sessions.
I'm not going to Oregon, though, or wherever Mike lives now.
Where do you live, Mike?
He lives in Arlington.
All right. If we do it together, it's easier.
And I'll take you guys all out for Chinese food.
If it's P.F. Chang's, I'll do it.
Well, there is a P.F. Chang's 2 blocks away from the library.
Yes. All right, I'm in.
And bring your dog.
Yeah,
I think it would be purer if we did it individually. That way, I just feel that if it's just...
No, it's not as much fun,
Mike,
for us.
You understand we're not concerned with the purity. Do you understand that? It's not to amuse you or to become a great actor.
Do we know our scene beforehand, or you just give it to us?
Yeah.
Right there?
Oh, yeah. I might email it to you like a week before or something like that.
Okay.
Would my scene happen to include the line, you can't handle the truth? Would that be in there?
Can we do something from Snakes on a Plane? Can we do that?
I get to pick the material.
All right. The other question we have for you, Mike, is how many movies you've seen in the theater this year. Now, that isn't really the bet. That's just a curiosity. But then Rob and I have an over-under on how many we've heard of. I don't think it's that many. Is that correct?
Well, I'm actually keeping a list of everything I see. So let me pull it up.
In the theater?
Everything I see.
Consult the list.
So
very prepared.
I mean, three immediately spring to mind.
Name them for us.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So the first one is La La Land.
Okay, heard of that.
Okay.
Everybody's heard of that. And then Manchester by the Sea, I think.
Okay,
heard.
All right. Okay. So, Rob, who had over 1.5, me or you?
I had over. So
you're going to win. Go ahead. What's the other one?
Moonlight. I think everybody's heard of that.
Did you like all these movies?
I liked Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight a lot. I think the La La Land is problematic.
I hate that word. God. What's the problem with it?
The two leads can't really pull off what's required of.
Did you like when they got fucked over by the award ceremony? Did that bring you joy when they thought they won the Best Picture Oscar and then it was yanked from their hand and given to a movie you like?
You say fucked over. And yeah, I thought the way it was handled by both parties was extremely generous. And the La La Land people didn't seem annoyed. They seemed like...
No, they were cool about it. Yeah.
They were cool. And I think that's a testament to how good Moonlight is. They know they lost to a really good movie.
How do you think Robbie would react if he was in the situation that La La Land was in?
I don't believe that's something Robbie could recover from.
What do you mean?
He's not going to handle it as graciously as
Mike,
the La La Land.
One time we didn't ask Robbie to sing karaoke. A year later, we asked him if he would. He told us to go fuck ourselves. Seriously,
yeah,
this is a
true story.
It's
still haunting him.
Yes, it's still bothering him. Can you imagine something as big as a Best Picture award being yanked from his grasp?
I think Robbie would ignore the note or the whisper and just continue accepting it and then walk off and then said, let them deal with it. That's what I think he would do.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Then he'd hide the award. He'd hide it.
I could see that happening. But
yeah,
they would have to drag me out of there like to drag that guy off that plane.
Yes, right.
This is my award.
Hey, real quick, I want to mention one thing, Mike. That our murder mystery, which you hated, we've just got a residency at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, 36 shows a year, one weekend a month, starting in August. Just wanted you to know that.
I think that actually is terrific.
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
That shows that as a business model, this thing is working.
Absolutely.
And for all parties, for the audiences too. I mean, that shows legitimacy, like, hey, we think this thing has got legs and they're here for a year.
Well, thank you.
You actually saw the worst show we've ever given.
As
will you give
you
it
mentioned many times.
Will you give us another chance?
I was thinking today, I feel like I saw it two times. Is that correct, Robbie, or no? Did I only see it once?
One time.
No, you saw it once.
I know you tried to get me many other times.
Yeah, when they did the show at the Arlington Draft House, right down the street from you.
Well, it wasn't exactly down the street. Yes.
You live in Arlington?
I live in a similar zip code as the Arlington Draft House.
Okay, close enough. Well, we'll try to get one at the library. Do they have a big enough room?
Can you get a free room for us to do one just exclusively for you?
Yes. If it's for profit, the answer is no. But I was thinking about this today. Has it changed at all?
What do you mean? We've written six of them.
Yeah. They're getting better. We're getting better at
I believe
knowing how to write things and adding little things that are crowd pleasing moments. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a tighter ship.
They're singing and dancing. I mean, not singing for Robbie. He didn't get to sing, but there is singing.
It's more theatrical, I think. I think we're crushing it.
There's six different ones you do.
Yes.
There is. We're writing our seventh, which is a Halloween theme one, which will debut this October.
That seems like it will be a success. I mean, that's tailor-made for it. What was the version I saw?
The first one.
You saw, the very first one.
The Last Laugh.
Oh, The Last Laugh. Okay.
Yes. Well, maybe we'll do a magic theme one. What's going on in the world of magic, Mr. Chamberlain?
I had a gig about a month ago, and I work for a lot of agents as well as myself. And there's one agent, what he does is he emails out a potential gig to a couple magicians, and basically whoever responds first gets it.
Sure.
And there's very little info other than it's this date and this time, but it was a thing and it said, venue, restaurant. And I'm no fool. I looked at that and I went, well, that can mean anything. That could mean a really nice place, or it could mean the subway at the gas station, you know. So I was available. It was in Gambrills, Maryland.
Near you, Joe.
3 or 4 miles away from me.
That's exactly right. Said, oh, I'm available. I was the first one to respond. And he said, oh, pencil it in. And then it went through. And then the sheet came through and it said what the restaurant was. Roy Rogers.
I know exactly where that is.
And
it's right
on,
by the Dunkin' Donuts. No, I know right on Route 3. I know exactly where that is.
That whole area, you know, I kind of knew that from growing up, but there's been redevelopments there. So it didn't ring a bell. I figured it must be something new. And Roy Rogers, they went away and now they're kind of sort of back. So they're doing things on, I think it's a Thursday night for 3 hours, like a family night. They might have a clown. They might have a magician or some juggler or something. So that's what it was. So I was on my way there and I had to stop. Do you know the Royal Farms gas station?
Right in the middle.
Yes. So I went in there to take a leak and then I came out.
Are you wearing a tuxedo at this time?
I have something a little bit more contemporary that I wear because it's at Roy Rogers. A tuxedo isn't going to work at a Roy Rogers.
Right. Oh, you're dressed up as a cowboy? Right.
So I'm pulling out, and as I'm pulling out, this white SUV pulls in beside me, and it stops. And the window goes down. He's motioning for me to get my window down, and I don't have an automatic window. I have to crank my window down, and I do a sigh like, oh, what is this? I'm already annoyed. I roll it down. I say, yes. And he said, oh, having a bad day, buddy? I said, yes. What is it? And he said, are you interested in a home stereo system? And I said, no. And then he says, retard. And he immediately drives away. But here's the kicker. He sounded exactly like Joe.
I'd have a much better sales pitch than that, please.
No, but it was the quality of the voice. It had that sort of nasal thing.
Oh.
And I thought about it as I was going up 3 to Roy Rogers, and I thought, is it a Glen Burnie sound? Because I know, you know, that's where Joe's from. I didn't know.
I am not.
It just unnerved me. And then I thought, you know, I haven't talked to those guys in a while. So
that's what made you think of me. How'd the show at Roy Rogers go?
You know, better than it should have, I guess.
Joe, if you knew that he was going to be there, you would immediately stop what you were doing and headed over.
Of course, yes. I would have. Found myself a double R bar burger. And watched
funny. I actually asked them about the double R bar burger.
Did they give you free food?
I didn't want the food. You know, I'm trying to, as I said, I'm eating.
Didn't you hear about him walking around the pool?
Oh, sorry. I forgot about your strenuous sitting in the pool exercise routine.
But they did offer. And I said, you guys still have the double R bar burger? And he said, oh, yeah, we still have it, man. It's great.
And you didn't get it. How about we take a break and then we'll come back and maybe we'll throw a guest in. Rob and Joe should be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, August 11th and 12th at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Welcome back, and joining us now, you know, we've talked to Mike Chamberlain, a wannabe movie critic, movie lover, now someone that really has the chops, back for her second time on the Rob and Joe Show, Mara Rheinstein. How you doing, Mara?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. MaraMovies.com. You're moving up in the world.
That's right. Us Weekly is so 4 months ago. I started my own site. It's been exciting. I've been reviewing everything still, going to all the festivals, doing a lot of essays and stuff that I didn't get to do before about movies. But, same opinions, just a different outlet.
Hey, I have a question, Laura. So, Mike's on too, but I know damn well Mike hasn't seen, you know, most of the movies that are out. It's a little late in the game, but I just saw Lion last week. And I think I saw most of the best pictures. Tell me what you thought about that movie, because I fucking loved it. Excuse my language. I can't remember being happier at the end of a movie than I was after seeing that movie.
I know more people who loved Lion over the last Oscar season than any other movie. You are not alone. I had many people, family, friends, who said to me, you know what movie I really loved? I loved Lion. And for some reason, maybe it came out too late in the season. You would think it was a Weinstein movie. Harvey Weinstein would have made that happen. That wouldn't happen. But there was no stopping Moonlight or La La Land. There were almost too many quality contenders last year. In another year, I think Lion would have had it. I really liked the movie a lot. I thought the beginning of the movie with the little boy was more compelling to me than the grown-up part of the story, where I just thought the whole point of the movie was just to get to that last scene. I felt like I could have fast-forwarded through that entire second act where he's staring at a computer screen. But that payoff is really, really something.
Yeah, I do agree with that. They could have done without even that the love interest that they kind of shoved in there. It was almost pointless. So you are right. But it was interesting because I saw that the guy from Slumdog Millionaire, whatever his name is, you're going to know it. Was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And I was like, well, yeah, that's right. The kid is the star of the movie. And then they shoved this adult in there so you can see, you know, but the payoff is so immense. I mean, I was overwhelmed. Yeah. I bawled at the end of it. And if you didn't, you don't have a soul. I'm sure Mike Chamberlain didn't see it.
God.
And if he didn't, he did see it, he wouldn't have cried. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I almost don't even want to mention it, just in case someone else hasn't seen it, just to give away what that last scene is. But
I haven't seen it. Don't give anything away. Now,
when you
were on with us the first time, Mike chastised you for not having seen the movie Nashville.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew, and I still haven't seen it.
Oh, my God.
There are so many new movies to see every week. I haven't had time to go back to the 70s.
In her defense.
I know.
Nobody is looking online to see what Mara thinks of a movie that came out 45 years ago.
That is true.
Personally hand me the DVD.
Did you see Lion, Mike?
No, I haven't seen it.
Now, Mara, is there a name for people like, because you're obviously in the business of reviewing and seeing movies, and you know, it's pop culture, but some of these movies, some are Spider-Man, but some are like Lion, where it's more art. But is there a term for guys like Mike who are strictly almost always art house?
I'm going to dispel that because there can be great art. There could be great art in a Spider-Man movie, and a highbrow thing, you know, like Lion could be a piece of junk. I mean, it doesn't mean one is artistic and one's not.
No, but you seem to purposely avoid the blockbusters.
Yeah, Mike, you're not going to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Mara, because people want to know if that movie's any good.
I'm trying to avoid anything that I think might not be good, but I have people I trust that hated Lion, so I'm trying to avoid that. But if somebody told me Guardians of the Galaxy was great, I might go to that. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean there's no art in a blockbuster and that there is art.
No, you're right about that.
When was the last time you saw a movie that had a 2 in the title?
Godfather?
Spider-Man?
Right. Okay. Well, that's one of the better Spider-Man. Now, Mara, on your top post here on MaraMovies.com is a review of the War for the Planet of the Apes, which you appeared to enjoy thoroughly. Is it time
to
start?
It's a great trilogy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it time to start ranking this? I mean, I think Lord of the Rings is probably considered the best trilogy.
I'm not a Lord of the Rings person, so personally, right. I would give the nod to Apes over Lord of the Rings. It's weird. I read a lot of people who say that this should be ranked among the greats. For some reason, It kind of hasn't captured like the public imagination that I thought, because all three movies have been very good. I mean, no, it's not Star Wars, but the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Rise, now War. I mean, it's everything that you want in an epic movie. I just think something about it is turned off. They're hits, but they really haven't captured the zeitgeist that I thought it would.
What does? I mean, you know, The Lord of the Rings was the beginning of a new kind of film. So it's hard for anything to catch on, even if it was great.
I mean, that's a great point. You have to go to the superhero movies. You have to look at something like a Captain America, which had three very solid movies. You definitely have to go to the new Star Wars reboot. It's got to have some major muscle behind it. I mean, if you want to go the other way completely, this winner is the third Pitch Perfect movie, and that's the anti-Apes movie. But you know what? You know what? People love Pitch Perfect, and Pitch Perfect 2 was a gigantic hit. I mean, you're talking about a female-driven franchise, but they're releasing it in Christmas because they know it's going to make a ton of money because people love it. So it can be done.
Do you know who saw Pitch Perfect 2 in the theater?
Every girl
you,
in America.
That, and me. I also did. Now, it sucked, but I did go and put down my $12.50.
I've seen them both. I did prefer the first one.
Well, but, the first one is infinitely better. Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
I'd like to say something about the Planet of the Apes movies for a moment.
Please. We're talking about the new ones, Mike. You know.
I know. The first one of this new batch I thought was sensational. And Robbie will remember this. I told Robbie he was resistant to it, and I told him how great it was. And he liked it, but he liked it less than me. And I was kind of getting on his case about it.
That's the James Franco, John Lithgow one. No, I love that one too.
That one was so strong. And Robbie said, yeah, but the CGI – Robbie had some complaints. I thought it was sensational. I thought this last one was weak. I thought it was okay. And I don't plan
– Which one, Rise or War? I like the second one a lot, actually.
No way Mike's seen the third one. He's talking about the second
one. The third one hasn't gotten to the library yet, so Mike hasn't had enough.
Is the guy who directed the first one, did he direct the third one, or is he out?
Yeah, Matt Reeves directed the third one. He did the second one. Cloverfield. Yeah.
Yes, I won't see it, and if it's the same director.
Jeez, I love that Cloverfield, though.
I think that the problem with the Apes movie, the franchise in general, is that it's a movie that you respect and that you appreciate, but you don't really love. It's a hard franchise to really love. It's so dark. Each installment is darker than the next.
Yeah, you can't sell the action figures. That's the it. You know, nobody, the apes are the villains, right? Pretty much. So you can't go to McDonald's and buy.
They're not. The apes are not the villains. You're rooting for the humans to lose in a weird way in the last one. That just makes it even bleaker, is that you're kind of rooting for human civilization to go by the wayside. So,
which is harder for the masses to stomach, I think. But yeah, it probably makes it a darker and better movie. You have a post I was reading on here, again, MaraMovies.com. Here's why Tom Cruise will crash and burn if he films the Top Gun sequel. You are against the Top Gun sequel. And you know, when I read it, you've convinced me. I think you're right.
Thank you. I think it's one of those things where you hear the news and you're like, oh, yeah, I love Top Gun. I love Maverick. Oh, I see that. Oh, I'm so happy he's going to go revisit that role. And then if you really think about it, this is going to be a complete debacle. You cannot recapture something that happened in 1986. Somehow it worked at the time. It was like a bombastic 80s movie, but no one wants to see Maverick in his 50s trying to navigate the world and be in the sky.
Playing volleyball.
Playing volleyball. Tom Cruise looks good. I respect him as an actor. This is not the direction that his career should be going. He's a really fine actor, despite all that Scientology craziness. He's got Oscar nominations.
I only want to see him play Jack Reacher.
Oh, God, is that a joke?
I'm more of a John Wick guy.
If you go back and watch Top Gun today, that it is unwatchable.
I disagree. I think it holds up.
No, I disagree.
It does not hold up.
It totally holds up.
It is a pile of shit.
It is. No, bad. It's awesome.
Rob, you're so wrong on this.
No, I'm right.
It was unwatchable in 1986.
Yeah. but it's an 80s movie. It's an 80s movie all the way. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer, Don Simpson 80s movie. Like, you can't make it nowadays. You just can't. It works for the at the time.
Now, Mara, as a film critic, do you have to go, like, do you have to go see the Transformers movie? You have to do it. You have to sit through it.
I actually skipped Transformers. I just was like, and I wrote a post about it. I was just like, to hell with it. I cannot do it. But that's the exception to the rule, because I knew what I was going to get with Transformers. But I will see every big movie that comes out on a weekend. I just, Transformers was like, was reached my limit. But sure, you have to see the, if you're a critic, you got to see the good movies and the bad movies. You never know what movie that looks like crap that will surprise you.
That's right.
And vice versa. Sure.
What movie that everyone hated did you love?
Okay, love is a really strong word.
Did you like? Did you give a thumbs almost up?
There was a movie last summer. I like, you know, sometimes I'll watch movies in a theater and I'll laugh my head off. Like, I'm so desperate for a silly comedy that I'll laugh, and maybe the second time around I'll be like, what was I thinking? But movies last summer, like Mike and Dave Need Wedding Days, and like Pop Star, Don't Stop Popping. Yeah. And in the light of day, are they really stupid? Yes. In a theater, after you see heavy movie after heavy movie, I am a sucker for really stupid, stupid comedies.
I get that. We need silly in this world. It's too crazy.
Yeah.
Funny you say that, because I
Zoolander too.
The movie that I think about is, have you ever seen the movie Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds?
Of course.
So I thought that movie was hysterical. And then I went on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got like a 34%. And that, I'm almost right in line, but they always say, well, they don't know everything. And I go, well, they pretty much, whenever I see a movie hovering around 50 something percent, I risk it and go, I always hate it.
Well, comedies especially can be very divisive, because it's either, you know, it's so subjective. You're either going to think it's funny or you're going to think it's really, really stupid. You know, it's like, there's only so many 40-year-old versions that can go around that everyone can just agree that it's a really well-done, sophisticated Judd Apatow movie. It's something like The Big Sick that's out right now. Most comedies especially, you get people coming up being like, that was so dumb, or that was so great. And even some art house movies, people will think, you know, wow, like, this is really groundbreaking, avant-garde stuff. And then I'll see it and be like, oh, that was a piece of pretentious dog shit. Like, it can go both ways on those kinds of movie genres.
Well, this is a question from Mara and Mike. What's the movie that you're most looking forward to that's coming out the rest of the year?
Oh, boy.
I have two movies I'm really excited to see, other than Pitch Perfect 3. well, tomorrow morning, I'm seeing Dunkirk, and I've heard wonderful things about the new Christopher Nolan movie. He does not make bad movies. And then three. Sure. Aaron Sorkin wrote and directed his first movie. He usually just writes. It's called Molly's Game. It's based on a female poker player, Jessica Chastain. Ooh. Every time Aaron Sorkin writes a movie, you know, I have to see it over and over, because he writes like the lightning quick dialogue. I really respect his craft. So I'm excited for that one. And I'm excited for Alexander Payne's new movie called Downsizing with Matt Damon and Reese Witherspoon. Alexander Payne, who's done, you know, Election, About Schmidt, and The Descendants. I also think that he writes very original movies that I can always relate to. So the last two will be out later this year, and Dunkirk is out on July 21st.
Good stuff, Mike. Mm.
So although I am a fan of Alexander Payne always, Matt Damon is so overexposed. I feel like if I see his mug on the screen one more time, I'm just going to smack the screen.
A lot of people feel that way.
I'm actually not a fan of Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
What?
Mike hates those Batman movies.
You hated The Dark Knight. God,
I don't really like anything he's done, but despite having an enormous amount of technique, but everyone that makes movies these days seems to have a lot of technique, because it's so easy to learn how to make movies. The one thing I would be looking forward to would be this Paul Thomas Anderson film that features what's supposedly the final performance.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Great choice.
I mean, that would be it.
The only thing I'll say, though, is Paul Thomas Anderson's last movie, Inherent Vice, was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. It was brutal sitting through it.
Your entire life. Okay.
Yeah.
He's calling you young. That's good.
I'm glad you think I'm younger than I really am. But I was physically uncomfortable sitting in my seat. I was just like, get me out of here. It physically hurt my being to sit and watch that. So I'm a little concerned because of that. But Daniel Day-Lewis's allegedly final performance, I don't believe it. But of course, you got to see it.
Daniel Day-Lewis is not a guy who doesn't do what he says he's going to do. He's not Muhammad Ali. He doesn't come out of retirement 8 times. Yeah, if he says something, you're probably never going to see him again. If I was a gambling man, I would bet that this is his last movie.
What's more likely? Sure, he thinks that. Joe, what's more likely? The next 5 years? Mike sees a Christopher Nolan movie, Mara sees Nashville, or Daniel Day-Lewis does another movie.
Well, Mara seeing Nashville is the most likely on that list.
Agreed.
I'd say Daniel Day-Lewis over Mike, because Mike is a lot like Robbie. They form an opinion, and then it doesn't matter what's happening around them. They right. don't step off of that. Did we talk about Daniel Day-Lewis the last time Mara was on?
No, I don't
sure.
think so.
I
want to know where you put him in the pantheon of actors all time.
Well, I mean, I would say at least top 10, if not more. He's won 3 Best Actor Oscars. Now, mind you, I couldn't stand the movie Lincoln, but he was still amazing in it. 3 in different decades. Incredible. Just to get back to the retirement thing, I'd say minimum 10 years, but you will see him again.
I agree with Mara.
Well, yeah. I'm a little disappointed she only went top 10, but that's
Joe's
okay.
Joe worships Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, there's no one close to him.
I bust Joe's balls on this all the time, but everyone knows I'm in total agreement with Joe. I mean, there's no one even close. Every time he's in a movie, he is so captivating in giving indelible performances. I mean, his performance in Gangs of New York, I think, is the greatest performance ever in a crap film. I mean,
he still takes a shot.
He absolutely just – the fact that he's contained in such a overblown mess, he's fabulous in it. Has anybody heard anything about – I think the statement was something like, we're not going to talk about it. There's nothing to discuss. There was no reason given.
No, I haven't heard anything. I hate to even go there. I mean, you have to kind of be concerned about his health, maybe. It's just weird for an actor to be so private to make an announcement like that. You'd think he would just not make a movie and be done with it. Like, no one's going to question that he takes 5 or 10 years off. So it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah, Gene Hackman didn't make some big announcement.
I know, but he doesn't look like an ulterior motive guy. And who knows if that came from him, if it came from... But it doesn't matter. Here's before we go, one question. Is there a place on your website, Mara, that somebody can click on where they can read reviews of movies that no one wants to see and no one ever heard of, where Mike can have maybe a little place in your world?
I have to call my web designer and ask if that is possible. But you can always leave a comment on any of the posts or on Twitter at Mara Ryan. I will read them all. But I'm sorry, not right now. There's not a special place.
Mara, do you have a podcast?
No, I'm maybe in the future. It seems like a whole ordeal.
Can I suggest I produce a podcast as frequently as you guys like? You and Mike just talking about movies. I would listen every week.
I would love to. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, the Mara and Mike show. There we go.
Oh, Mara and Mike show. Alliteration.
I would totally listen to that. 100%.
Go to maramovies.com, maramovies.com. It's more than just reviews. You have some cool opinion pieces, some funny articles. It's good. It's a good website. Check it out. Thank you for coming on, Miss Mara.
Thanks for having Reinstein. Me.
You are the best. And we look forward to the Mara and Mike show coming soon. See ya.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Mara.
Bye.
Great job,
she's
Mike.
She's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great job, Mike.
Want to wrap up with Mike and ask him his thoughts on that podcast and then say goodbye to him?
Sure.
No.
Mike?
Come on, Mike.
Mike, are you intimidated? You don't think you can hang with her?
She's beneath him.
I was trying to think, how could I say this in a positive way? Because I haven't read anything she's written.
I think she's great. I like her a lot.
Me too. I love her. I absolutely love her.
I think that she's tough to listen to.
Washies, God.
God, well, what are you?
Well, there goes that. All right.
Although, Mike, you did win me over with your Daniel Day-Lewis comments, I will say.
I just said she's tough. I think Robbie would understand what I'm talking about, even if he doesn't agree.
Robbie, the one who pitched the idea? Okay.
She's
Eight seconds ago, he pitched the idea to do a podcast. I think he likes how she sounds.
Think about it, Robbie.
Yeah, she's very likable.
She is.
Even when you are being condescending to her, even when you do that, she goes, well, I understand what you're saying. You make a good point. But she does have knowledge.
All I said is she could be tough to listen to.
Half an hour show, once a month.
That'll really take off. Half
she
hour.
She is likable.
Half hour once a month.
Shall we do a 10-minute podcast quarterly? We'll start our Patreon. We'll do 5 shows a year for $30. Hey, Mike Chamberlain, good luck at Roy Rogers. Let's set up the Mike Chamberlain's acting school. Thanks, bud. See you soon.
Yeah. P.F. Chang's on the way.
Let's take a break. Rob and Joe, we'll be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, September 2nd at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
I think it should be the Mike and Mara show, so people are looking for Mike O'Mara show get it confused.
Clever. But I mean, but Mike and Mara does have a better ring, like Mike and Molly, the TV show.
Well, if a tree falls in the woods, have you considered that?
What? Have we started, Robbie? Is this the show? God, okay.
Nobody's going to listen to that. They might listen to her. As soon as they hear Mike on there just talking down to her for 19 episodes, they're going to eventually turn it off.
We talk down to each other for 220 episodes.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Would you listen, Joe?
Actually, I would. I would listen. Yeah. So here's the deal. Like, I actually really respect Mike's opinion, but she's really likable. And also, she seems like somebody who is willing to listen. Like, she doesn't want to argue. When Mike makes a good point, she goes, okay, yeah, there's that. She doesn't feel threatened when someone challenges either something that she doesn't know or an opinion that she already has. I loved how she admitted, I'm not going to see Transformers. I loved it.
And I loved her, and I loved it too, but I don't really respect Mike's opinion. He's too bougie film guy. I'm like, you're not a real person. You're not, I mean, I like, you know, his thoughts on our murder mystery because he does plays and, you know, I get that. And obviously anything with magic, anything to do with Robbie, I respect greatly his opinions on Robbie. But for movies, no, I get no respect. None.
When he agreed that Daniel Day-Lewis is the greatest ever, then I knew. That's when
okay.
I knew.
Okay. Well, that's not that hard of an opinion to agree on. I mean, if you think Michael Jordan's a great basketball player, do you just agree with me now? You respect my basketball opinions on things?
Well, no. Nobody's making fun of you thinking that Michael Jordan is a great basketball player. And people are giving me crap about Daniel Day-Lewis as if he's not in the top 3 minimum.
Well, I think they just like to give you crap. But so we pre-recorded that interview, which means that 40 minutes, 2/3 of the show is essentially done. So we have the final 20 minutes here or so. So the question I have for you, Joe Robinson, is how quickly will Robbie Robinson get this episode on our website and on iTunes and Stitcher and everything available for download?
I mean, it's not going to happen tonight. You know how you know?
Well, because it's bedtime in like 30
minutes.
Yeah,
his bedtime's in 27 minutes. So it's not going to happen tonight.
On show night, I go to bed a little after 9.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Well, how do you get up in the morning?
It's hard.
Man, your whole day must be shot.
Is it the is the Tuesdays just ruined for you? You get nothing.
Got a case of the Tuesdays. I went to bed at 9:05 p.m.
Oh my god, I couldn't wake up until 3:30. Got nothing done.
If it normally comes out middle of the day Wednesday and 60% of the work is done, then it should be out Tuesday afternoon.
It's 66% of the way done, so it should be out in a third of the time it normally takes. It's simple, simple math.
Okay.
But you guys are making a wrong assumption here, that it has anything to do with the amount of time I spend on the show. It has less to do with that and more to do with other things I have to do that conflict with it. In this particular case, my goal is to have it up tomorrow, but who knows?
Your goal? Really? That's your goal? I'm thinking your goal should be tomorrow morning.
I couldn't realize my goal tomorrow. Because I didn't wake up until 3:52.
I have a schedule to keep.
Okay. What time are you waking up tomorrow, Robbie?
About 4.
So your schedule, you can't find 30 minutes in there to listen to this last segment and then hit upload button and then call it a night? I know you got to write out a whole thing and you got
to
find a picture.
I also have to merge it with the other file.
Okay. Well, I think that's the computer doing that. I don't think that's really.
No, I have to manually cut and paste it, Rob.
Well, right. It's just, okay, whatever. Anyway, welcome. This is our 7th year. We're actually starting our 7th year on doing this show. And literally, we're having the exact same probably conversations we've had all throughout year one. I mean, nothing's changed.
No, that's not true. Our sound is better. Now,
it's not 7 years better.
No, it's clearly not. And I didn't get that new mic cord that I was told I needed to get. I didn't even.
Amazon.
Yeah. I did nothing.
Joe's mic cord is in chat.
That's clever. I do miss the chat.
So is Clam Chowder Review. So let's not act like Rob, it's all about me.
Rob, I think it's safe for you to go back to chat. I mean, Eric the Actor has been gone a while.
You're right. But I feel like that Mac wants to, uphold take the mantle, if you will.
Yeah, but Mac's in there once in a while.
Yeah, but Captain Cupcake's in there, and if he knows Rob's looking, you know.
Yeah, he'll triple up on.
You're actually right about that, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's better off that I just stay away, maybe one day. But it was good to have Mike and Mara back on. We have a little announcement. We're going to be speaking of being back on. We're going to be back on the Mike O'Mara Show this Thursday, the 20th. So check us out. It's been, 6 months or so since we were last on, Joe.
It has been a while, but, we have the big announcement, the monthly show at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. And, hopefully we can get a bunch of people out going on there and being hilarious.
Yeah. So we'll go on there. It'll be great. They do it an hour earlier now, which is just awesome for getting up even.
It's awesome for Robbie. He's only been up 6 hours by the time the show started.
Exactly. But that'll be fun to go back on with the fellas. I'm a little disappointed, though, in our Facebook people here. I said we need 10 people to go on our Facebook and say, they want Robbie to sing at Sing for Your Life at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, August 11th and 12th. And I don't think we've gotten to 10. Shout out to Allison and Taylor Jenkins. They're a couple. They both commented. Allison says, gentlemen, I would like to make something perfectly clear. If Robbie doesn't perform the Bad Touch at Sing for Your Life, I will be incredibly disappointed. Even a date with Gramps wouldn't console me. That's powerful stuff.
Wow. So it implies that she would be consoled by a date with Gramps?
With Gramps wouldn't console her.
Yeah, we could certainly arrange that.
We could make it happen. Well, you know what? I got the good fortune of hanging out with the Jenkins. If you remember last week, I was leaving immediately after the show to go right down the road to Sonoma's Bar and Grill for a comedy show. And they were there. If you remember, Taylor is a music coach, teacher. He gave you a real detailed review on your singing when you played your Bad Touch on the air last year, Robbie. And I felt a little bad because you've mentioned in the past, Joe, when Mickey would do all these shows and people would come out and it was oversaturated, there'd be like 8 people there, and it would be bad for the brand. It would look, like it's less cool that his comedy career is less amazing and taking off. Well, that was sort of what happened here, and it wasn't a lot of people there. The people that were there were cool, but I felt bad. I was like, yay, big comedian. And now they're out there like, this is like 8 people here. But They had a great time. Okay. No, because I said that before they could say anything. And they're like, no, this is great to be here. But we hung out. They were sort of part of the show because it was very conversational. I mentioned something about, you know, having threesomes. And there's this couple that had just walked in and the guy had, you know, started cheering or something to that effect. So I started talking to them about, you know, hey, you can have a threesome with her. You know, he's like, no, we're not dating. So a little back and forth for about 5 minutes. It's funny. They go to what everyone thinks is to go walk outside to smoke. So I'm like, go, you know, I'm chanting his name. You're going to do her. You're going to bang her. They walked out on their check.
Did they hold you responsible for that?
Well, they did, jokingly, because at first they were like, dude, they walked out. So they had, I don't know if they were planning on walking out. And then I started talking to them, which they should have. And then at that point, you know, bailed on walking out because now they were
drawing attention to them. How much was the check? Do you know?
They each had one drink, which, you know, people thought they were just going outside to smoke, which happens all the time at that bar. And they just kept on going. So, you know, here I am trying to sell drinks. That's what a comic's job is to sell drinks. And I ended up costing Sonoma's two Hennessys.
That's expensive. That yeah. That's probably
exactly. But then afterwards, I'm talking to Taylor and Allison, and when you come up, Phil was there, our friend, and you came up, Joe, and they mentioned the pie plate closer, and I begrudgingly, half-assed, didn't tell it exactly right, perfectly. I did the pie plate closer for them, and they laughed, like, audibly. Like it was a real genuine laugh. So
very funny.
I guess
joke.
It's a credit to your joke that I can tell it poorly, and it still delivers a big laugh. So bravo to you.
Thank you. I don't like the fact that people call it the pie plate closer, considering that you can't write on a pie plate. But, okay, we'll just let that continue to be the name.
You can write just on a pie plate with a Sharpie.
Yeah, just be happy that people are talking about you and your comedy still, Joe.
I'm doing comedy, actually, the end of this month, the 29th. Is that it? And so are you at the Baltimore Comedy Factory on the 98 Rock show.
Oh, because Jim Amato commented on Americast he hosted this week that Joe's website hasn't been updated since Christmas.
Yeah, Jim did a great job. If you're listening, Jim, and I know you are, Marcus, good job getting Mr. Amato to run the show. He did a nice little a more broadcasting in 90 seconds, best of little snippets throughout the week. It seemed like that took a lot of time to put together, Robbie. You know about these things. That was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah.
By the way, my website, it's a different world now. You go on Twitter, you go on Die Laughing Productions. I mean, what am I going to do on there? Just put the same information on a different medium? Go to Die Laughing Productions. You'll know what I'm up to.
It's just very funny that he was actually looking to promote you doing stand-up, but he couldn't do it. That's all.
He mentioned some of my shows. He mentioned the murder mystery. It was very complimentary. Great job, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Good people. I believe he's also the producer of the potential Nikki Diamond show. We'll see if that ever gets off the ground. But we had, while we were waiting for the show to start tonight, we watched Game of Thrones last night, and this isn't really going to be any spoilers, but we got into a bit of an argument about it because whether you watch the show or not, it doesn't really matter for this discussion. But Ed Sheeran, you know, the pop star, did a little cameo on there, not as himself, but he had a role, small role. And Rob, you're not alone on this, but that seemed to bother some people. And you said it took you out of the scene?
Yes, because I'm sitting there, I'm immersed in that world when I'm watching Game of Thrones. And all of a sudden, Ed fucking Sheeran pops up singing on my Game of Thrones. It was stupid.
Okay, you're not immersed in that. You're not afraid of dragon.
Yes, right. Yes. You're not escaping reality so much that you are worried about wildfire. But any actor that you see, I mean, not everybody is Daniel Day-Lewis. Some people are movie stars, and when you see them, you're not. Why aren't you distracted by them?
But they don't have movie stars on the show Game of Thrones for that reason.
But are you distracted every time you do see a movie star?
Yes. If somebody who's
so
face...
every time you see a film that has a movie star, you're distracted.
Sometimes in a movie I am. If somebody shows up that I've seen before in something else, I'm like, it takes me out of the thing. And when you put the biggest pop star in England in there, pandering to somebody, it's annoying. If I told you last week, hey, guess what? Ed Sheeran's going to be singing on Game of Thrones, you would have groaned.
Well, he's not singing Shape of You. He's not having a concert at the freaking.
He's sitting on a log singing some old English tune.
He's not on top of the wall.
Perfectly.
Serenading a dragon.
redhead. Yes, it's not like he's some gorgeous. You know, Jamie Lannister is more distracting than Ed Sheeran.
The point is that Ed Sheeran looked, if somebody auditioned to be on that show, they looked exactly like Ed Sheeran, they'd get the role.
Yes, but the problem is not that he looks like he belongs on the show. The problem is that he's Ed fucking Sheeran. He's too recognizable.
Why are you distracted?
Bruno Mars.
Yes, as soon as you see Peter Dinklage, why are you distracted?
Listen, they did not serve the story. They did a gimmick. They stuck in the biggest pop star in England to pander, and it was annoying.
Okay. When you watch Sopranos, were you like, oh my God, Bruce Springsteen. When's he, is one of the E Street band going to play? Cause freaking, what's his name? Oh, come on.
I guarantee you that 90% of the people agree with what I'm saying.
Well, first of all, I guarantee you 90% don't. So the guarantee, I mean, you need to dial that back a little bit. I guarantee you one out of every 10 where it's like, oh, that was okay. Everybody else like, that sucks. 9 out of 10 people, no.
Game of Thrones fans. He's also in a scene with one of the best characters. And, you know, on this show, you know, there's so many characters. So whenever a character you love is on, you're pretty much, you're focused on her.
Yeah.
And for a second, because Joe and I and Tawanda and Katie watched it together, we were like, oh, that's Ed Sheeran. You know what happened right after that? We were right back into the scene.
We weren't distracted in any way. Did it ruin the whole show for you, Robbie?
No, but I couldn't stop thinking about that they did that. There's a lot of exposition when you do a first episode because you got to kind of reestablish what's going on in the story and everything. And they wasted a scene on Ed fucking Sheeran.
It wasn't about him. You realize that. He was just in a group of six guys singing.
Yeah.
Next week, they're going to have Paul McCartney on.
You know what was a bigger deal to me was that you got, what's the fat guy who works in the library? He's cleaning up people's shit. Yeah. So Sam, he works in the library, the chained books. But there's a room that you can't go in, like an X-rated room. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go in there. By the way, what's interesting is the guy who plays Slughorn, who's the same person that allowed Slughorn in Harry Potter, that allowed Voldemort access to that. I think it's called the same thing, the restricted area or something like that. Is the same actor.
Oh, yeah.
That played. It's the exact same actor. That Robbie's not distracted by that at all. Either way.
I didn't remember that. That's good.
But why is there a restricted area where that tells you where the dragon glass is? Don't go in there. We don't want to find shit out. It's not like, you understand, the reason that that existed in the Harry Potter universe is because you didn't want children having access to the dark arts. That made sense. Explain to me why there's a restricted area in this library.
Because they don't want everyone to have access to all this knowledge, because knowledge is power, Joe. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's good watching answer. For dragons. Sense. And he opens up a book and goes, guess what? I just found a mountain of dragon glass. I mean, there's a much bigger issue I have with that, Robbie. Yeah. Chained area of the library where Michael Chamberlain teaches acting. Oh, I mean, that's a much bigger deal than Ed Sheeran in a 3-minute scene.
I agree. That part was silly. It was kind of silly, but it didn't take me out of the story.
What if Ed Sheeran becomes a regular on the show?
That would even be a bigger problem.
Are you going to stop watching?
No.
Okay. What if Elton John becomes a regular?
Yeah, I would have a real big fucking problem.
He dresses exactly the same as he dresses today.
I'm not going to stop watching.
What if Kim Kardashian becomes a regular on the show? What actor would become a regular on the show and you'd say, that can't do it? Adam Sandler becomes a regular on the show.
If it was season 2, maybe. But I'm not going to quit in the final season.
Kevin James joins Game of Thrones.
Jim J. Bullock.
It's Leslie Jones in Game of Thrones. I mean, does it bother you now when you watch The Wire today? Well, Idris Elba's now a movie star. You can't watch the show anymore because now you're thinking of him fighting Thor or whatever.
Yeah, like, no, I won't go back and rewatch The Wire, man. That was a huge investment of time.
Okay, well, do you ever go back and watch rewatch shows?
I watched a little bit of Breaking Bad. They had a marathon on Sunday.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. fucking Robbie. So I was thinking about this the other day, Joe. It's something that I guess technically it's something that you and Justin did that I was on board with. May have even been my idea. I can't remember. And I think about it now and I'm like, what the fuck were we thinking? And there was a sold out show a comedy show at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, and you guys allowed Chris Restivo to do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
People that don't even know who that is. They don't even know the joke. And yes. I bring that up because I'm afraid, are we about to make that same mistake with our new Halloween murder mystery, where we have, not Restivo, but we have decided to put in the show as a small part, Eric Woodworth's crazy clown rape brother, Jeremy Woodworth.
I said to Eric, I said, we have to have an understudy for him because we can't just never do a show if he's not available. We have to have the ability. He's like, well, my brother can play the guitar. He can sing. He's willing to take all his clothes off. I said, okay, but can we harness this guy? Can we keep him under control? And this is at least a good entry into that. We get to see whether or not he can compose is not the word. Can he
follow direction?
Keep it in check enough to not blow the show up, because that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to blow the show up.
They talked about this on Quality Time, by the way.
What they say? I've been checking it out. Yeah, what did they say? I didn't hear last week. What did they say, Rob?
After they said Robbie's crazy, I could hardly hear what was going on anymore.
You don't like being called crazy?
The way he said it. And then he talked about the logo and didn't give me credit for it. So he called me crazy and then didn't say something positive.
Who, Eric or Jeremy?
Eric.
Oh, Oh, boy.
Well, Eric knows crazy. I mean, his brother's Jeremy. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's wrong, but the way he said it in such a public way. Kim was 100% agreement, of course.
The difference between this and Restivo is we were asking Restivo to do something he can't do, and that's, you know, be funny in front of a room full of people, versus now we're asking Jeremy to be scary, which is something, it's about the only thing he can do. So it is different, but still.
I remember right before Chris Restivo walked out on stage, I looked at my phone and Justin was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What, like 1,000 times? Like, what have we done? What have we done?
So
he goes out there and he just, I mean, by the way, and the worst thing about that, there was 5 people in the audience that got the joke, and Chris's dad is out there just watching him just die, right? Poor and I remember I'm back there. And all of a sudden, I see Chip Coachella, manager of the Comedy Factory, running back. Go, what the fuck is this? What is going on? He's furious. I'm like, all right, enough. You know what I said to him when he walked off stage?
Good set.
Good job. Yep, that's exactly what I said.
So will Jeremy Woodworth rise to the occasion? I told him, I said specifically, don't say a word. Because I'm afraid to give him some lines, because then he might, you know, we give Eric some lines and he always adds. He always adds things, usually funny, but sometimes he's singing an abortion song during a Christmas murder mystery. So, you know, there's some pitfalls, but
I'm telling you, the first 3 shows, I'll be holding my breath every time he comes on stage.
Yeah, well, the first one on the books is October 25th at the DC Improv, Halloween Whodunit. You know, we got a ways to go. But
Jeremy's job is not to come up and deliver lines. He's supposed to be running around in the audience, you know, scary. He's a scary clown.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that's all he's going to do.
But even Eric is a little bit out of control sometimes.
Yeah, he called Robbie crazy. He's got to be out of control.
Who would say that?
Could anybody think such a thing?
Yeah. But anyway, so look for that soon. I have a Gramps story, but you know what? Let's save it for next.
I have a quick story about me just Joe Robinsoning it as usual. So I went to Hamsaki in Glen Burnie. It's a Japanese steakhouse. And sitting down next to me is 2 parents with 3 kids. And all these kids are young. I mean, I think the oldest may have been 6 years old. Okay. So they have a baby with them. They have a middle kid who's probably 3 or 4. And they have somebody who's probably either 5 or 6. That's how old they are. And I look over because we're sitting at the same table. And you know me, I engage people anyway. Now we're eating together. We have to engage them.
Sure.
So I turn around to this guy. And by the way, just to give you that, let you know what kind of guy this is. He has a shirt on that says, I'm right 98% of the time. And the other 3%, who cares? Okay, that's his shirt. He wore it out to dinner.
Gotcha. 98%, 3%. Very funny.
It's a hilarious joke. Mm-hmm. So I look at him and I go, wow, that's cool that your kids like coming here. My kids were pansies. They used to be afraid of the fire. Okay, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. My kids were pansies, meaning if you were afraid of the fire, you're a pansy.
Totally.
Of course, He looks at me and goes, well, this one is really afraid of the fire. Then the fire happens and this kid's like, ah! He's just screaming, right?
Oh, my God.
Now, it's a little bit my fault, but it's more his fault. I mean, I stopped bringing my kids to that place until they were old enough to handle it. I didn't throw them in the deep end of the pool because they didn't know how to swim.
You gotta learn.
And this guy, the 101% guy, he has his 3 or 4 year old up against the onion volcano or whatever the hell they're doing. But anyway, I take no responsibility, but I did call some redneck's kid a pansy. But
and then you had a meal with them.
Right. Well, where I was in the heart of Glen Burnie with that shirt, I had a feeling he was a 98 Rock fan, so I think I was safe. But nevertheless.
This is the second story you told where you got yourself in trouble at a Japanese steakhouse, Joe. Maybe you should just not interact.
Yeah, I would never go. Well, I mean, I would go because I don't care. But if I was Katie, I would never go to a place like that with you. It's a time bomb.
I mean, what am I going to do? Disagree?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're right, because remember, going to happen. The last screw up I had was Suicide Squad Wonder Woman. Remember the guy was wearing the Suicide Squad shirt. He was wearing a Suicide Squad shirt and hat. He went to see Suicide Squad 2 days after it came out. Then there was a woman with a Wonder Woman tattoo, and she was somewhere else on the opening day of Wonder Woman. And I made the exact same mistake twice. I won't make that a third time. Same thing with the Japanese steakhouse. I've made two mistakes. I'm done. So those are just, I don't make a third mistake. That's all.
You can't control yourself, Joe. You can't. You will go back there because you love your Japanese steakhouse, and you will say something, and then you'll have 40 minutes staring across at this person you just insulted, and Katie will be drive to drink, which she never does. That's Joe Robinson, and I wouldn't want you to change, bud.
Probably. Yeah.
Hey, I'll be at the Lorton Workhouse Arts Center where we did the murder mystery where the prison used to be with Tommy Simbazo this Friday. 21st.
Well, that sounds like a good show.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Check it out if you're in the Lorton area. I guess that's the show. Tune in next week. Gramps Story. Listen this Thursday morning or download Thursday. The Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be back on with the fellas.
And we're recording a bonus show next week.
Bonus show coming next week. Getting some new Patreons. We do appreciate that. Keep it coming. Maybe we can get enough money for Joe to buy a $6 cord to fix his sound quality.
All we need is 7 more patrons, and I'll get that cord.
Get a cord. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.